much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, let's start. Chit chat time's over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's a bright and shiny day. It's a bright and shiny day.
You ready to get this party going on?
All right, let's get this party started.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night, part of every day.
Party every day. Rock and roll all night and party every day.
I like to rock and roll part of every day.
Party every day.
I usually have errands. I can rock and roll from like 1 to 3.
And now.
I want you both to listen to me, okay? I know why you're here. So don't BS a BSer, okay? Your presence here, court ordered.
Why did you put presence in quotes? You implying that we're not here?
Our feature presentation.
Underrated movie by far.
Role Models.
Love that.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
What makes you think it's underrated? It was a huge hit.
I don't know. I just think that it should be in people's top 10, and it's not.
Thank you, Lisa. I do, too.
Yeah.
My top 10 has a lot in it. That's my problem.
It's your top 50.
It really does have like 45 or 50 movies in my top 10.
But I support that completely.
But they're all technically in my top 10. I'm not sure how to work that out yet.
Yeah.
It's your top 10. You do what you want.
Okay. All right.
Don't play by the rules.
We're going to take your telephone calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get us a call to get on the air for the Monday edition of Kevin Means What Did Your Nephew. Psycho Mike, I don't understand what the event was yesterday that you and Miss Cleo and others were in. What's the – you were racing through mud? What was it?
Yeah, they often have these – they're like endurance events, but they also add these obstacle courses where you have to kind of go through moguls or run through tires and then go through mud and stuff like that, you know.
What's the point of that?
The main point, I believe, is to raise money for charity. And then after that, the point is to challenge yourself physically. Then after that, I would say, is to have fun.
Do they do it because it's fun to watch people get super, super muddy? Is that why? It's just entertaining for the spectators to see them run through mud?
And also the participants. I think, you know, you get very few chances in your life to really just throw your inhibitions to the wind and act like a little kid.
Being a kid again, yeah. I can see that.
And totally get nasty and dirty and muddy and... Act like an idiot.
I'm guessing you do that more than most, though.
Right. But I said
that's
reasonable,
why he's good at it.
Reasonable, normal adults.
Right.
I mean, not me.
And how did you do? Did you win the
did
mud?
Did you dominate?
The mud run?
You know what? I didn't like pay too close attention to my time, but
What was your time?
I did whoop some ass. Miss Cleo went out there.
What was your time?
Well, I honestly didn't.
Don't lie to me. What was your time?
You know it to the millisecond.
Come on.
I was working. I was literally broadcasting
right.
with Richard Blade, by the way.
Yeah.
The name that you guys recognize.
Really?
There in a second, but what was
and
your time?
I don't know, Kevin.
That's a lie.
Okay. Whatever the fastest time was, 4 seconds below that. but I was hanging out, broadcasting, emceeing the thing. And then as soon as one wave came up and I just kind of felt like it, I was like, hey, dude, I'm going to run right now. And I just took off. So I don't know what my but.
So you're helping host on the microphone.
Yeah, that's my main reason for being there. They hired me through the station.
And then you would put the microphone down and just go run in the mud for a while.
Yeah,
and then come back.
Yeah.
How different are Mike's weekends from ours?
Completely.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Miss Cleo ran with me, and she did great. She did.
Did you film it? Did you film it? Did you film it? Did you film it? Did you film it?
There is some film that exists.
All right. Really? Miss Cleo running? What do you? Yeah, that's the best video ever.
Yeah. She says she had a guy ask her to do jumping jacks while running.
Well, and she should have.
Still demanding that.
Never going to live that down.
There's one way she can live that down.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. She's never going to live that down.
All right. All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Let's take your phone call.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
If someone were to be on the line and win a prize, Kevin, what would that prize be?
That prize would be a brand spanking new, believe it or not, Kevin and Bean t-shirt.
All right.
Crazy.
And when they say brand spanking new, does that mean that they found some old ones?
They have to have, because they're certainly not making any new ones.
I just want to throw this out, Bean. I know you'll appreciate this. Miss Cleo and I, our team this weekend, we were the Foreign Mud people.
All right.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
Nice.
Glenn Miller for Congress. All right, let's try Tom on line two to get us started here on a new week. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, guys? What it do, Callie?
What it do?
What's going on?
I did get a liver. Anyway, I found a new show that has nothing but hot women on Spanish TV.
By the way, that's all Spanish TV, and God bless him for knowing how to do it.
Yeah.
2 hours on Channel 46 from 2 to 4. Opening sequence is nothing but dancing with two very curvy, very well-endowed women.
What's the
scantily clad, I'm guessing.
What's the name of that show?
It's translated Scandal TV, otherwise known as Escándalo TV.
Escándalo TV.
Escándalo okay. TV. And then
set it up on my TiVo right now.
And then two hours later, there's another one called La Tijera on the same channel, which means the scissors. And there's this one hot little woman.
It does.
And Carolina that just has nothing but a huge set of cans in dresses that are about two sizes too small.
Why did they call it the scissors? What do they do?
It's more cut about stuff. Scandals. Scandals in entertainment.
Why did the Hispanic people figure this out so much quicker than we did? Honestly, I mean, they really have been nailing this for years. You go to any Spanish channel, newscasters, it doesn't matter who's on there, they're supermodels.
Well, Spanish, especially Mexican TV, is what American TV would be if there wasn't the women's lib movement. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just never had that, so they can put on the TV that all the execs want to put on.
Which so they don't have to put Oprah on.
Right.
And guys, 10 lines.
Ten lines
that go wherever they want.
I got you.
All right. You sound like you need a private moment here. So we're going to hang up on you now, Tom. Thank you for the call. Let's move along to Ray on line three. Ray calling about a big, big weekend in Las Vegas. Hi, Ray.
What it do, guys? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
I saw Muse Saturday night, Vegas.
Oh, I heard they were playing Saturday night in Vegas. I wanted to go so bad.
Amazing, guys. Been going to shows for about 20 years. Probably the best show I've seen in about 20 years.
Where did they play?
Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay. All right.
I saw some of the pictures that various people I know were tweeting from the show, and it looked like an unbelievable set, too. I mean, they are really bringing the lights and everything now, right?
Yes, lights. The way they did the stage, for everyone who's going to Coachella, they will not be disappointed.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's Saturday night at Coachella this weekend. And Muse is one of those bands that just, they blow you away. You sit there and watch them and go, how is all this coming out of three guys?
Yeah.
Sometimes, a fourth guitarist or something. But for the most part, just three people.
Yeah.
But you know what? For the most part, really just one guy. It's
that
unbelievable.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
It was a big stage, and they had the whole arena. So it was almost like a 360.
Walked
around the entire stage all night long.
I'll bet the people that were sitting there trying to watch enjoyed that.
They did.
All right. Thank you.
Good times. One more. Diego, line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Diego. Thanks for calling. What it do?
Hey, good morning, guys. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's going on?
You'd be amazed at some of the things I see in the morning when I'm driving to work, but I was driving right now, and I saw this guy shaving, which normally, isn't nothing big deal, but then I saw his second hand holding up his face. I'm wondering, how in the world is this guy driving? And apparently,
knees.
He's driving using his thigh.
Yeah.
Must have a little Planes, Trains, and Automobiles action on the highway while it's raining, which is kind of crazy.
Well, guy's got to shave, man. You can't just show up looking like a homeless dude. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not sure in the car with a razor blade to your neck is really what you want to be doing.
Driving with your knees.
Driving with your thigh.
I agree with you.
That seems
like a bad idea.
Maybe get up 5 minutes earlier, and I'm the one saying that, but I know. Come on. Shaving.
Or be late, like Kevin.
How shocking was it that Kevin was on time today with all the rain, by the way?
I was here on time.
Barely.
That's what I'm saying. I said, how shocking was it?
When I open the studio door and I hear, and now. Oh, no. Yeah, I barely
right,
made it.
Diego.
But I didn't shave. You know what? I shaved at home.
Attaboy.
You know?
Okay. All right.
Good Come on now. Coming. I'm responsible. Remember that girl that shaved in, was it Florida? She was shaving down there while driving?
Yep.
Sure was.
Hey, hold the wheel, she said to her passenger, who was her ex-husband.
She was on her way to see her boyfriend.
Yes. That woman had two guys
everything.
In her movie, in her life movie, I was going to say. Yeah. In her life. And she's shaving down there, and that can't go well. Because, again, razor blade, driving with knees, whatever. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm ignoring you because you make me sad.
How dare you? We have Coachella tickets today.
It's this weekend.
Wait, tickets to go see what?
Coachella?
Ella.
Oh, my God.
Just put. Let's just do one file of just that. Just put it in the file, though. Because
I'm endlessly entertained by that.
I know you are. And it's endlessly not funny.
Yeah, you're the only one.
Andrew Siciliano in the studio today, talking about sports and talking about, he does a sports radio show. And he went to a phone line, and a dude was literally out cold sleeping. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long he'd been holding or whatever. A guy had narcolepsy, is that the right word?
Yeah.
But, yeah, just... And they tried to wake him for like 45 seconds. They couldn't get him woken up. So that's good times.
Funny.
Yeah. That's when you know that you really have your audience riveted.
Yep.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking about all.
Wrong guy.
Yeah, wrong guy. Talking about TMZ and all the celebs over the weekend. We're going to tell you about an airline that is now going to start charging you for carry-ons.
Yeah. It's getting crazy,
wait a
by
minute.
The way.
You heard me. Not for checking too many bags.
Which is what they've been trying to do for years. They've been trying to get you to not check bags, put them on carry-on instead. That's going to be faster and cheaper for everybody. Now they're saying, if you do that, now we're going to charge you for carry-ons.
But I'm sure they charge you to check it, too.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
I don't know. I imagine, yeah. But listen to this. We think if the story that we heard on Friday was correct, it's $45 to put. Yeah. You can put something under your seat. Okay, fine. You use the overhead bin, $45.
Oh, come on.
I know, right?
It's just them lying about the price of a ticket.
That's really all that is now.
Yeah.
It's like you think you get a great deal, and then you realize it's another $100 if you want to take anything with you.
Yeah, right. And if you want to sit down, okay, now we're talking a whole other fare.
Hello.
We got to look into Robert Pattinson playing Kurt Cobain in a movie a little bit more.
That's the rumor, right?
That seems like that's bad. Well, it's been rumored and it's been denied, but usually rumors mean nothing, and denials mean nothing. You never know, like, what's really going on.
Yeah.
But if this is happening, Rob Pattinson playing Kurt Cobain, that seems
that
like...
That might not be good.
Maybe not a great idea. And we have Uriah Faber in the studio today.
Nice!
How about that?
We got his ass.
We have BJ Penn tomorrow, do you think?
Wow.
Think he'll come through on that?
No.
I don't think so either. Got beat over the weekend. Oh. Shocker. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We heard that Foo Fighters song a million times during March Madness on CBS this year. Every time one team would be eliminated, it'd be on and gone and on to the next one. So it's funny. I always think of that now when I hear that song. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. I love Tina Fey. Boy, she was funny on Saturday Night Live this weekend. And I love Steve Carell, who's always great on The Office and in other movies, but I had no interest in going to see Date Night. Did not look like it was for me.
I went.
Did you see it over the weekend?
Yeah. I did. I went and saw it, and it didn't... I thought I would like it. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
You did?
Really?
Good.
I really loved it. I thought it was funny.
Everything I've heard is they're better than the material, but they make it.
Both of them are better than the movie. That is accurate. But since you like both of them...
Good. I'm going to go.
It's good enough. I mean, I thought it was really funny.
Well, the final numbers will shake out later on today. Right now, it's a photo finish at the top. Date Night, at this point, says $27.1 million to take the top spot. Clash of the Titans just behind it at $26.9. That figure could change by the end of the day. But, pretty successful debut for Tina and for Steve.
Yeah,
How to Train Your Dragon came in at number 3 with 25.4. Then the Tyler Perry movie at 4. Last Song, the Miley Cyrus film at 5. Alice in Wonderland, 6. Hot Tub Time Machine 7, The Bounty Hunter 8. No one liked that movie, by the way.
No one.
Well, that was bad from the beginning.
That's the Jennifer Aniston, Gerard Butler. Diary of a Wimpy Kid was number 9, and Something Called Letters to God at number 10. I don't think we talked about that one. Anyone have any clues?
Not a clue.
No, I don't know what that is.
Something I saw that's not on the list is When You're Strange, that documentary about the Doors.
Oh, really?
Really good. Some never-before-seen footage.
When You're Strange.
Johnny Depp. Narrating. It was really good.
Lisa, going to a relevant movie that we might like.
It wasn't my choice.
Glad you got that out there. You were worried about
that,
you for a while.
Wow, what a surprise.
Yep.
Speaking of movies, by the way, Ralph told us some time ago that they were making a big screen. Well, they're turning all the toys into movies. And when you look at the success of Transformers, it's no surprise, right? So they're looking around, what's in the kid's closet that we can make a movie? And he told us that they were making a Battleship movie based on the Hasbro game. Okay, Battleship. You guys remember that game?
Of course. Yeah.
Plastic pegs, you sunk my battleship. Well, I had concerns about it, that it was going to be bad. I was thinking, there's no way they make that a good movie, right? Until I found out that Tom Arnold is going to be starring in it. Tom Arnold is starring in Battleship, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I will tell you, though, this confuses me that Peter Berg is producing it, who's an outstanding producer and director. He's the guy behind the Friday Night Lights movie and a bunch of other stuff that he's done that I've really, really liked. And usually he does not sign on for junk. So it's possible they're going to try to turn this into something decent. But you don't start with Tom Arnold. That's not, you don't build your franchise around him, right?
Yeah. What was the one that he was in with Arnold?
True Lies.
True Lies.
I always go back to that, and I think he could be good.
Right, but that was his one great moment, and it was also nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You're right. It was the perfect role for him.
Yeah.
Specifically. Right. Like, they wrote that entire movie just to have him there. So it made a lot more sense. Rihanna apparently had a major slip of the tongue. Another bell, please.
Good way.
When she revealed that Katy Perry's wedding, they're still talking about getting married, by the way.
I think they might.
Yeah. Come on now.
I think they might, Kevin.
Let's stop. Let's stop with the whole Katy Perry and Russell Brand are going to get married talk.
They won't stay married.
Apparently, she was doing an interview. She let it slip that they were going to get married across the other side of the world. Taylor Swift, Noel Gallagher, some of the people they're supposed to attend. And apparently, they're going to get married in India.
That's quite a slip.
She does love the India.
Does she?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time over there.
They're still talking about it as if it's still going to happen.
I think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
You need to brace yourself.
At some point, she's going to wake up and go, no.
I tell you, what's not going to happen is Leighton Meester will not be marrying her boyfriend, Sebastian Stan. They've broken up.
Yeah.
Friends say that she dumped him because, quote, she doesn't know how to be in a relationship and doesn't really like them. Psycho Mike says, yeah, as if now he's in, right?
Right,
now
sure.
Now Leighton Meester is available.
Now he's got a shot.
And here's one. This saddened me. A year and a half of marriage for Fringe star Anna Torv and Mark Valley, who is the Human Target. They got married in December of 2008, you guys. And they're already divorced.
Well, he died.
Really?
Or separated for divorce.
He died like an episode or two into that series. So,
he keeps make that haunting work. Her.
Yeah, that's true. He does keep coming back.
Yeah.
Year and a half. That's not good.
That didn't last long.
No.
That's on-set romance. That's what it is. Yeah. And then he left.
Then he went to another show and she wasn't there.
Right.
The cast of Jersey Shore apparently is not making a lot of friends in Miami. What a surprise there.
What?
Here's my thinking on this. In Jersey, they're used to that kind of activity, that behavior. In Miami, not so much. So apparently, according to New York Post Page 6, they're saying that club owners, not all that interested in having those people show up at the cameras from MTV.
I love that.
Just, they got Jersey Shore, a little line through it at
the
door.
That's awesome.
Do not come in. Thank you. Don't need that kind of press.
Excellent.
Amy Winehouse is, according to the London Sun, rushed to the hospital Thursday after experiencing terrible pain from her breast implants.
Not drinking or drugs this time?
Well, I'm not going to say.
They never say drinking or drugs.
Right. In all the time she's gone to the hospital, they've never said drinking or drugs. But this is supposedly terrible pain from the implants. She had a $50,000 breast job last year, and she had a 32D. Now doctors are deciding whether or not to undergo corrective surgery or have the implants removed.
Why would a breast implant job cost $50,000? Yeah. Aren't they usually five or six?
Yeah, I think five
or maybe
to eight.
Ten
tops.
At the most?
I don't know.
What's that about?
Because she had no skin to, graft skin and stuff.
Plus, you have to work with Amy Winehouse, so there's some danger
the
pay
disinfectant
involved.
Alone.
You know, we used to hear about breast implants gone wrong a lot.
Yeah.
It was in the news all the time, remember? And then they banned the silicone implants, and I guess they allow those back now. Now you can get those again, right?
Yes.
But you don't hear stories like this very often about a woman whose body just essentially rejects them. So I wonder if there's something else going on that's particular to Amy's case.
Maybe there's a little more to this story than we're hearing.
Maybe.
Yeah, because it does seem odd. Today's celebrity birthdays, by the way. We heard that he turned down dozens of TV shows before he agreed to star in Modern Family. The great actor Ed O'Neill celebrating his birthday today. If it weren't for Modern Family, he might have died being best known for his Married with Children show.
Yeah.
But now I got to tell you, Modern Family is eclipsing it, I think.
He's so great on that show.
Yeah.
He's so great. He is 64 years old today. David Letterman turned 63 today. David Cassidy of the Partridge Family. Oh, if Ralph were here today, would he be squealing like a little girl? He turned 60 today. Actor Andy Garcia is 54. Art Alexakis from the band Everclear. We did a breakfast with Everclear once, Psycho Mike, from a 7-Eleven parking lot.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That's great.
I love him, and I love that band. That breakfast show, not so good.
I don't remember very much about it because I was so excited to be at a 7-Eleven. He is 48 today. Nick Hexum from 311 turns 40 today. Actor Nicholas Brendan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer turns 38. Shannon Doherty, recently of Dancing with the Stars, best known for Beverly Hills 90210, turns 39. Actress Claire Danes is 31. And Guy Berryman, the bass player for a little band called Coldplay, celebrates number 32 today. And that is the showbiz. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, on the phone with us right now. Harvey, I've been dying to talk to you ever since Saturday Night Live. I just wonder, does your BlackBerry and your email and your phone just blow up like crazy whenever you get a shout-out on SNL?
I didn't even know about it until yesterday afternoon.
Oh, really?
Well, you're not very good at your job, then.
It just happens all the time now. That's the thing.
Sad. I felt bad.
Where are your friends? Why aren't your friends calling to tell you that Saturday Night Live is calling you the son of Satan?
I know. That was nice, wasn't it?
Let me play the audio for folks who didn't hear it. This is Jason Sudeikis, I guess, playing the devil, and he's sitting in on the Weekend Update, and they're talking about all things having to do with Satan.
Look, Seth, most priests in the church, you know, are upstanding, devout men. I won't argue that. But they need to do a better job stopping the creepy ones. I mean, if someone, anyone, ever touched a hair on my son's head, I would go crazy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's your son?
The TMZ guy.
Oh.
Do people not know that?
Yeah, I don't think officially, but now that you say it, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Now that you say it, it totally makes sense, Harvey. I love that so much.
Could it be the blonde? Maybe it was Max, the surfer dude, that they were talking
sure.
about.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. He's well known as the TMZ guy, right?
Let's go with that. All right.
Okay.
How are the ratings on the Masters this weekend, by the way? Did Tiger's return do for CBS what they hoped it would?
They did really well. What do you think of it? I mean, you know what? It's like, if he did really poorly, it would be interesting. If he won, it would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's my thing about the Masters. It's golf.
Yeah,
there is. It's golf. Exactly.
And, I prefer sports. That's my thing.
I'll tell you what I think. I was really surprised with all of the introspection that Tiger Woods has gone through in the last 4 months and all of the talk about how he was more zen and how he wasn't going to lose control. I was surprised to see, you know, the outburst day one or day two where he threw his club, and then the outburst, I guess it was yesterday, where he was yelling, Tiger Woods, you suck, at himself after a bad shot. I mean, he definitely seemed like his emotions were raw, and I wasn't expecting that from him just because he already seemed like a robot going into the tournament.
Well, remember, I mean, he typically lost his temper on the course.
Normal.
I cannot believe I'm talking like a golf expert.
I know.
This is frightening. But yeah, no, he did. He even said, I believe, that he was going to try to control his temper better.
Right.
You know, during the press conference, you know, because he knew what he had done in the past. So I think he just kind of lapsed.
Harvey, that clip that you put up on, whether it was Thursday or Friday, I don't remember, of Tiger hitting a bad shot and then somebody in the crowd saying, no. And then Tiger, saying, God, and throwing his club.
No.
God. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. I watched it 150 times over the weekend. I was trying to figure out what that guy would have, like, why just, no.
I didn't even think he was aware that he was speaking out loud.
Maybe.
Probably.
But he didn't go, oh, no, or anything like that. He's like, no.
Tiger, did we ever find out, Harvey, who paid for those banners that somebody flew over the Masters?
No. Well, I think there were I don't think it was the same person. I just think the FAA was so ridiculous that they grounded one of those planes for frayed seatbelts. I mean, it's just so transparent.
Really? I didn't know that.
Frayed seatbelt.
I saw thing about the ESPN banning the coverage of them, that ESPN was no longer going to show.
Yeah, but I mean, you almost understand that. But, I mean, the idea that the FAA would, you know, stoop to going in there and looking, I mean, it's so transparent. I don't know.
Yeah. Harvey, you want them flying with frayed seatbelts? Is that what you're saying? That's okay with you?
Harvey doesn't care who live or dies because he's the son of Satan, remember?
Oh, come on, guys. now you're hurting my feelings.
Last Tiger question. I guess I didn't see the end of the Masters yesterday, but I guess in the exit interview he said he was going to take some more time off to do whatever he does. I mean, is it possible that he came back to the Masters because it would be the safest, softest place for him to return, and he doesn't really want to face a real crowd at another golf course?
I think he came back to the Masters because he wants to win the all-time title, and I think that's the big thing right now. I mean, that's why I always felt he was coming back. But, you know, I don't know.
Is he going to be gone for a while now, do you think, or do you think he'll play the next major tournament?
I mean, what's he going to do? I mean, yeah. The guy golfs for a living. That's what he does. Right. I can't imagine. What's he going to do?
I think in the world of spin control, the best thing that could possibly happen is he starts winning tournaments again.
Well, and then people start talking. Yeah.
And then people start talking about that more than they do everything else.
I thought the whole point of the Masters, that he really, you know, if he could have won this thing, it would have turned everything around.
Hey, Harvard, all remember right. This guy?
No.
All right. Okay. Can I ask you guys something?
Yes, please.
Certainly.
Did you see the Michael Jackson post this weekend?
I don't think I did.
This is so funny. So, you know that memorial they had?
Yes, at Staples Center?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I remember somebody saying to me, who was involved in this, if you guys expect to get a shot of the casket leaving, it ain't going to happen. And sure enough, it didn't happen. I mean, we never got it. And I just couldn't figure out how they got it from Staples to the cemetery. I could not figure it out. Well, we finally cracked the case.
Yeah.
A little late, but we cracked
it. No, you're right on top of it. When did that happen? 6 months ago?
They put the casket in an LAPD SWAT van.
Oh, really?
And they rendezvoused with a Forest Lawn van, and they brought and then they put the casket in one of those like flower vans, and then they brought it in, so nobody saw it. So we put it up this weekend, and we put a poll in saying Michael Jackson. I just thought this would just be funny. Michael Jackson, RIP or still alive? 55% of the people think he's still alive.
Yes,
there you go.
Wouldn't that be great if that flower van got confused and delivered Michael Jackson to someone's home for their anniversary?
Right. You can keep up on all the entertainment news at TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. He is the spawn of the devil, ladies and gentlemen. Harvey Levin from TMZ. Thanks, Harvey.
Thank you.
Rock superstar from Cypress Hill. I love that band so much. Me How too. About a new record, guys? What about that? What about putting out some new music every once in a while? Yeah, it's great to hear the old stuff, but come on
you
with
know,
that.
You know, the new one's coming out a week from tomorrow, the 20th.
What?
420, oddly yeah. enough. Yeah. We have an event on that day as well, but it has really? No relation to this one
oh,
whatsoever.
Really?
Yes. Oh, as a matter of fact, Tom Morello plays on two of their songs, two of the tracks on their new CD. So Rise Up is the new song that we've been playing here on this radio station for a while. And mm-hmm. So a week from tomorrow, you know, maybe something will happen, maybe it won't.
Hmm.
How would we know?
How would we know?
They don't tell you
all
anything.
Right. Right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Showbiz Beat coming up, including tickets to see Flight of the Conchords live. How about that? If you love that HBO show like we do, you can't wait to see Brett and Jermaine in concert. We'll give you the opportunity in about 10 minutes. First, though, it's getting super expensive to fly, let's face it. They charge you for every little thing these days. And, of course, they say it's because they're not making any money. Airlines are nearly bankrupt. And then the price of gas goes up. And then they got union expenses. And the next thing you know, they're paying you for peanuts, if they're even giving them to you.
They're charging you for peanuts, right?
Right, they're charging you, excuse me. So Spirit Airlines in the news this week. And this is not a joke. I think Lisa somehow thought that we were joking when we said this.
Well, it sounds like a joke.
They're charging you. They're going to start charging you $30 if you tell them at the time you book your ticket that you need to use the overhead compartment. $45 if you don't. That's the walk-up fee.
Now we're
to put a bag in the overhead compartment that you're flying on the plane that you're flying on.
Right. We're not talking about checking luggage. That's an old story that you have to
right.
pay if you check a second piece of luggage. This is carry-on luggage. If it doesn't fit underneath the seat, if you have to use above, $45, and that's not a round trip fee. That's one way.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that unbelievable?
$45 on the way back.
That is such BS.
How crazy is that?
I saw that and I thought, well, that's crazy. That's scraping the bottom of the barrel. And then I saw that Ryanair, which is kind of the Spirit Airlines of Europe. It's the affordable airline for all over the continent of Europe. Now they are discussing two new charges that they're going to ask their passengers. One is they're going to charge you for using the toilet. I'm not joking.
What?
No.
Between $1 and $1.50 to use the toilet. They're trying to discourage people from going on board. They'd rather they go in the terminal before they get on the plane.
Who's got a dollar? Seriously?
Somebody
needs to loan me a dollar right now. Seriously.
I know. Come on.
And also, not a joke, they're going to charge you if you use the air sickness bag on Ryanair. Won't cost you anything if you don't throw up, but if you use the air sickness bag, I'm sorry, that's going to be a fee. We're going to need to collect that from you before you leave the plane.
You have to pay to throw up.
So we wanted to find out more about this very disturbing trend in aviation, and we asked producer Alex to line us up somebody. And from the National Associated Airline Coalition Partnership, Conrad Slevak joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Slevak, thanks for your time, sir.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
National Associated Airline Coalition Partnership, that's your group?
Yeah, the NAACP.
there's another NAACP. You know that, right?
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you talk to them then?
Well, no, I don't mean to insult it's just, you. I'm just saying.
The name
you guys
is
call me
taken.
Top brass tacks, or you want I'm sorry. BS around all day.
Well, we would like to talk about the extra fees that seem to be added on to all flights.
Times are tough.
Yeah.
Bottom line, I've been talking to pretty much all airlines that fly, both international and nationally. Here, we're located in Texas, and like I said, times are tough. I tell them to look at a flight like the sticker price on a car. That's the bottom of the barrel. Whatever you're getting for that flight price is just the absolute bottom of the barrel, and that's a safe flight from point A to point B with no frills. Everything else, you should charge. Add-ons.
But $45 to use the overhead compartment, that seems a little steep, don't you think? Why don't they start at like $20?
You know, you can travel without a bag. What are you, a girly
man?
Well,
I mean, if you're going to pack your shoes, huh? If you're going to
need a couple bags, do you?
I'm saying you would bring a computer or any kind of a, you know.
If you're gone for a week, you need to change clothes.
Really? Do you?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you kind of do, sir.
Maybe if you're abroad, you got to pack your dresses.
It's interesting that
clothes and your underwear.
I think most people do that.
Hey, most people wear clothes.
Hey, what did I say? Bottom line, times are tough. Streamline a little bit, okay?
It's interesting that the guy who works for the NAACP, again, National Associated Airline Coalition Partnership, is every bit as surly as everyone else we encounter in the airline industry.
Yeah.
Funny radio man. Jokey jokester. Great.
So you would advise Spirit Airlines, you're doing good work, charge $45 for a carry-on. Now, you're saying that's right. The right
$45 for a carry-on. We also recommend that they start charging to use the bathroom, like you mentioned earlier.
But what if a dude doesn't have a buck, but really...
Buck, by the way. A buck will get you half a urination. You don't even want to know what it'll cost for number two.
I can't believe you parse it out that fine.
That's right. A particularly stinky poop, it's going to be a little bit extra.
Well, that it should, first of all.
But from now on, as far as I'm concerned, I've been talking to most airlines, and I recommend no more stewardesses unless they pay for it.
No more stewardesses they pay.
No more in-flight attendants, as they want to be called nowadays.
Meaning you're going to charge them to be a stewardess?
That's right, and you should offer a couple different packages.
Okay.
What I like to recommend is the Kim, Courtney, and Chloe package. If you want an attractive stewardess that makes you feel good about yourself, go ahead and go with the Kim.
Right.
And that's going to be $100 per male flight member.
Okay.
The Courtney package is usually a... marginally good-looking broad, maybe a nice guy.
Right.
Pay $50 or so. And then if you're going to get a real Agatha Christie or a Legend of Hagar Vance, you know, real ugly broad, toothless, maybe, you know, a couple miles under her belt, you know, then you go with the Chloe package.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said, it's like a sticker price on a car. You pay for what you get.
How much is the Chloe package?
You know, it's like 5 cents and a Big Mac. In-flight entertainment.
Yeah.
That's an option now.
Yeah.
We're not just going to give that to you right out of the gate. And you pay for what you get for. You want some HDTV, a couple different channels? $75.
That's ridiculous.
$75?
That's right. You want a couple old reruns, Everybody Loves Raymond? $50.
Okay, so less.
And then, you know, for free, maybe we'll pass around a Walkman with like a Nickelback record on it or something.
It does seem like you're nickeling and diming the customers to death. Like, you're not going to be happy until every passenger on an airplane is miserable.
That's right. You got to remember, you're in an airtight fuscelage.
Right.
Air's scarce up there. We're going to start charging for air.
I mean, you can't charge for air.
I sure can.
How?
We're going to make it a vacuum in the fuselage, and we'll only make the air tanks available with a little quarter machine, like one of them Tilt-A-Whirls at the Penny Arcade.
So you put a quarter in.
You get 5 minutes of an air tank.
Okay.
And then it just sucks right back up into the ceiling of the airplane. And then if you want another pull off that air tank, throw in another quarter. Cheapskate.
Well, I'm going to start flying with a bunch of quarters, I'll tell you that. I don't want to be in that situation.
If you want a pilot with a license, it's going to cost you.
What are you talking about? All the pilots should at least have licenses.
Oh, should they?
Well, yeah, that's involved in the original cost of the ticket.
Maybe for you, fancy pants, but not everybody has that kind of cash. If you want an under seat flotation device, save your life. If you perhaps land in the water,
right,
it's going to cost you.
How much?
Let's say $150.
You're just making up numbers for no, just randomly.
Sounds good though, right?
No, it sounds ridiculous.
Your life isn't worth $150.
No, but if you
what
crash,
about the life of your family?
If you crash,
you're telling me that the life of your family isn't worth $150, cheapskate.
No, but I'm saying if you crash in the water, that's really you ought to be paying, not me.
close to 1.7% of all flights in any given year happen to end up in a crash or an emergency landing. Are you going to tell me that you're going to pay for the other 98.3 flights? No, you're not.
Okay, we're confused.
I don't know.
Think about it. How many times do you actually have a crash landing?
Well, never.
Never,
not very
so
often.
Far.
Right.
Yeah, so why should you have to pay for something that you hardly ever use?
What?
I don't know. All right. I'm so confused right now.
Landing gear unnecessary. You got to pay for that.
All right. We're going to send this interview up to the lab and get it translated, and then we're going to get back to you, all right?
All right.
What'll that cost me?
What's it going to cost you to put your head up your ass?
It's there already.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah.
ESPN Radio sports personality Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour to talk about Tiger and all things sports here on the Kevin Amin Show. Right now, though, it's time for the Showbiz Beat, and we want to start with some great news. If you're a Flight of the Conchords fan, as we all are, man, I missed that show.
Oh, so I know. They're so good.
And they did everything they could to try to get him to come back and do a third season. They wouldn't do it. They said, nope, we're staying right down here in New Zealand raising kids instead. But they are going to be coming on tour to America this summer, May 30th at the Hollywood Bowl. If you want to see Flight of the Conchords.
We see you girls checking out the front of our trunks. We see you girls looking at our junk, then checking out our rumps, then back to our sugar lumps.
If you want to see a whole evening of songs like that, call now 1-800-520-1067, caller 25. Win your tickets for Flight of the Conchords from the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, everybody's talking about this new book on Oprah that's coming out. Kitty Kelly, I bet you've read some of her books in the past, Lisa. She's a well-known biographer. She did a book on the Bushes. She did a book on the Reagans. She did a book on the royal family.
Oh, her new one is on celebrity. She does books.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay, yeah.
Unauthorized. Yeah. Right?
Unauthorized biographies. Now, Oprah is the most powerful woman in show business, and she's got a fascinating life. I mean, there's a lot of questions about what's the real relationship between her and Gayle King. She doesn't speak with her mother at all.
Mm-hmm.
She's never announced who her father is. She had a terrible childhood. She was sexually abused. I think she got pregnant when she was like 13. I mean, there's all this stuff on Oprah that Oprah's maybe not crazy about being out there. Well, Kitty Kelly has written the book anyway, and it is shaping up to be a bestseller. But here's the interesting thing about this. No one wants to cross Oprah by having her on the show. So Kitty Kelly's got this book that, by all accounts, is quite explosive. She can't get on Letterman.
Oh,
she can't get on Ellen. She
really?
Can't get on Larry King. Because, A, a lot of the show business people are friends with Oprah. And, B, who wants to cross her and get on her bad side, right?
That's hilarious.
Now she'll eat you.
So I don't know how it is going to work out. But it has been fascinating to see, to see all the different ways she has tried to publicize
most of her books. I wouldn't be interested in, but that one I might.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the stories called New York,
I'm so fat.
Timing. No, timing. Actually, no. One of the stories, the New York Daily News got an advanced copy of the book. One of the stories that they published in this morning's paper is that for a brief time, John Tesh and Oprah were romantically involved and lived together.
No way.
John Tesh, of course, was the host of and co-host of Entertainment Night for Tonight for many, many years.
Yep.
Now, a very successful syndicated radio host and musician. They lived together in Tennessee.
No way.
And the book says that they broke up due to the social pressure of being an interracial couple and how difficult that was for them back in the 70s to be a black woman living with a white man. So that's just one tidbit from the Oprah biography from Kitty Kelly.
That you'll never hear about because nobody will have them on to talk about it. That's a bizarre story, isn't it?
It really is.
You have such an explosive product, but no one will talk to you because Oprah will kill them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
the fear, right?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Actual death.
Tina Fey.
Yes.
One of the last good girls left. StarPulse.com reports that she says she has never experimented with drugs due to purely just a lack of interest.
Dumb.
I don't know that dumb.
But she
says the man in rehab, right?
But she understands why actors turn to a quick high because there's a lot of downtime and it's boring.
Right.
There's nothing to do and you're just sitting around waiting and
right.
So that's why you would try it. But she apparently never has tried anything.
She's kind of a geek.
She is.
She's always been kind of a geek.
Totally,
so
yeah.
You know she doesn't run in those circles particularly. So that probably helps.
But I watched Date Night this weekend and she is just funny.
She's adorable.
And interesting.
Yep.
I don't use the word adorable because I'm a guy.
She's cute.
Thank you. I don't use that.
You don't say cute?
No, I would say she's hot.
Bangable.
Oh, okay.
In a weirdly strange way.
Okay.
I'll go with cute.
Well, date. You're not the only
one.
You
know what else I don't do?
Oh. What?
I don't do that.
Even when you see puppies?
Nope.
You weren't the only one going to see Date Night over the weekend. It is number one at the box office. Date Night with Tina Fey and Steve Carell, $27.1 million, if that's how the final numbers shake out. It's only a couple hundred thousand dollars ahead of Clash of the Titans. Last week's number one came in at number two.
I saw that this weekend, too, and I love that.
You
it
did? Looked,
it, I mean, the storyline, whatever, it looked unbelievable.
It did?
Yeah, because of the 3D and all the effects.
Yeah, but every review I've seen says the 3D's terrible. It wasn't good
ridiculous.
In 2D, and 3 didn't help at all.
Oh, that's
wait,
ridiculous.
2D is in this movie? Kevin, you are you should warn the audience that you are incredibly easy to please when it comes
I'm
to
I'm not
films,
a movie
though.
Critic, if that's what you're saying.
Number three was How to Train Your Dragon. Number four, Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married 2. Then the last song, that's the Miley Cyrus movie, Alice in Wonderland at 6, Hot Tub Time Machine at 7, The Bounty Hunter at 8, Diary of a Wimpy Kid at 9, and something I forgot to look up since last hour called Letters to God came in at number 10 with just $1.3 million.
That must have been one of those tiny little, you know, local tiny releases where they're going to try and roll it out over the next couple of weeks.
Either that or it's one of those Kirk Cameron will show it in every church across the country deals.
That could be.
Oh, yeah.
Remember last time he did one of those, it was in the top 10 and we had never heard of it.
Yep.
Amy Winehouse is back in the hospital, according to London Sun. Why, you ask?
Why?
Terrible pain from her breast implants. For which she needs? Anyone?
Drugs.
Oh, there you go.
Just a suggestion. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Yep, you are just saying.
She is in the hospital. They are saying that she had some kind of complications from her $50,000 breast implant job.
What is that about?
I don't know.
You shouldn't have any complications if it costs that kind of money, ever.
Honestly, I don't know because I think the expensive breast implants are between $5,000 and $10,000, right?
Yeah.
What do you get for $50,000?
Drugs.
Maybe.
They ought to have a light show. They ought to spin. They ought to do tricks.
Something. Slow-release drugs. Maybe they put slow-release drugs in them. Just for the next 2 years, you're going to get a just
and
constant...
And now she's running out.
Right. That would be hot. Yeah. Psycho Mike, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what it is. It's a heartfelt tale of inspiration, hope, and redemption. It's a religious movie. That's what it is. I mean, we should have guessed from the title. I guess that's why you thought of it. But yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a no-stars religion movie that they probably pumped out in a lot of the churches enough to make it in the top 10. Interesting. All right, so I don't need to see that one. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about the great actor Ed O'Neill? He's the patriarch of the Modern Family on ABC. He turns 64 today. Talk show host David Letterman, who will not be having Kitty Kelly on to talk about the Oprah biography, is 63. Partridge Family singer David Cassidy looks fantastic for 60 years old today.
He does.
He, of course, still has a stage show in Las Vegas. Andy Garcia, terrific actor, is 54. Art Alexakis from the band Everclear is 48. Nick Hexum from 311 turns 40 today. Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Nicholas Brendan is 38. He's the one who's a twin, right? Didn't he have a twin brother?
I don't remember.
Is he the one with the twin?
Didn't he just get into legal trouble, too?
Well, I don't know about that. I was just trying to figure out why it wasn't his brother's birthday.
Let's do some research.
Okay.
Shannon Doherty is 39 from Dancing with the Stars in 90210, and actress Claire Danes turns 31, and that is the show. I guess it's inevitable that eventually there's going to be a Kurt Cobain movie. I mean, his legend is certainly getting bigger every year since he's been gone. And now Courtney Love is saying that she would like Robert Pattinson to play her late husband in the film.
Robert Pattinson? Hmm.
That's what we thought. We thought he is no, right? Robert Pattinson is no, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he might be good at certain roles, but it certainly doesn't seem like he's made out of what Kurt Cobain was made out of.
Energy?
I beg to differ, gentlemen.
Our Pats is here again. How are you, Robert? Yeah.
Snuck right in.
I'm so
quiet with your hair.
I'm filled with sorrow. That's how
you
I
are filled
am.
With sorrow.
And
we talked to you last week when
deal
we found
with
out
as best I can.
When you found out that when we found out that fame was so difficult for you that you had That's to right. A live in a hotel and B your only friend was your acoustic guitar.
Both are true. Yeah. I'm here in Los Angeles today, and I'm forced to stay at the Beverly Wilshire now.
Well, why would you tell people where you're going to stay?
703.
Okay, again, you don't need to come on and give out your room number if you're trying to stay away from fans. Look, here's the thing. Could you play Kurt Cobain? Yes, after the shotgun blast. That's when you could play Kurt Cobain. I don't see you mustering the energy to play him when he was alive and vibrant and a great rock star, though.
First of all, that wasn't a funny joke. Don't make light of the fact that Kurt is suffering in heaven where he belongs. Secondly...
Why is he suffering in heaven?
Yeah, that's the good place.
Probably be pretty cool in heaven, actually. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's suffering.
Who's this broad over here?
My name's Lisa. We met last time.
Mm-hmm. Stop touching my leg. Secondly, I am the perfect actor to play Kurt Cobain because I've like I said, my only friend's my guitar. Uh-huh. So I'm a talented musician as well.
So you
as
write
an
songs.
Accomplished actor.
Okay. Now, part of the there are two other rumors. One is that Scarlett Johansson is rumored to play Courtney.
Oh.
That's in Courtney's dreams, by the way.
Yeah, and I want Brad Pitt to play me in the story of my life as well. And the other is they're not sure they're going to be able to license the songs, the actual music. And that seems important.
That's true. I've done a lot of research. And in all the documentaries they've even made about Kurt's life, they weren't allowed to use any Nirvana music. So,
well, if Courtney Love is behind it, though, it seems like she would be able to authorize it, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming she'd get the other guys in the band to sign off.
I've prepared all the music for the movie, just in case, because
in case you can't use the real stuff,
music.
That's right.
Have you written songs, Nirvana like songs?
Thousands.
Well, can we hear one?
Would you like to hear one right now? I mean, you want me to actually play one and sing one right now?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, no problem. Okay. Because I have so many ready.
Right,
it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Pattinson from Twilight is now going to play a song as if he were Kurt Cobain in the Nirvana movie. It's a little bit of an audition.
I'm not British. I'm from Seattle. I love coffee. I love flannel.
It's not a song, really. That's not a song.
There you go.
Do you think that sounds
one
like
in
Kurt
the bank.
Cobain?
One in the bank.
That's it? You said you had thousands.
One in the bank. There you go.
You wrote that or just made that up off the top of your head right now?
No, I've had that in my archives. For,
I see.
Months now since I found
you're having a lot of trouble keeping that accent going, aren't you?
Well, sometimes it ventures into Australian, doesn't it?
Nope, sometimes it's right straight back
you
to English,
one?
Too. Yes, could we have another song, please, that might work in the Kurt Cobain movie?
Heroin kicks ass. I'm gonna buy heroin with all my cash. Cause I'm a junkie.
That's not a song. It's certainly not a Nirvana-like song.
And it sounds a lot like the last song.
I thought it was pretty good.
You do run out of steam after three lines, though. I've noticed that about you, Art Patson. All right, one more, but then we got to go.
Just one? Because I have so many.
I know you have a lot.
And they're all, I'm sure they're all high quality.
Robert Pattinson now.
No need to investigate any further. Courtney Love's responsible for my murder.
Oh, wow.
She did it. Seriously, she did it. She killed me. I'm in heaven looking down, trying to give messages. Robert Pattinson. Seriously, someone tell an investigator up in the Seattle area.
That theory has been floated around quite extensively.
She made it look like a suicide. Right. So she could cash in. She wrote my coattails while I was alive.
Okay, that's not the way to get your name in the hat to star in this movie, Art Pattinson. I can use for you.
She has to write off on you. You know she has to write off on you. Sign off.
Or sign off on
sign
it, right.
What are you doing? You're not even singing words.
What? It's a great song.
It just sounds like you're going...
Grunge rock.
Okay, thanks for stopping by.
Right.
It's the Sis, Andrew Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen, joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, from ESPN Radio and the Red Zone on DirecTV. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank
More
you.
Importantly.
I follow Andrew on Twitter, and I don't know how many TVs you got going on in your house.
Two, but actually right now.
You are watching every sporting event around the world 24/7 and have the time to comment on all of them. It's crazy.
You know what? My Dodgers and Angels kind of fell off this weekend, I'll be honest with you. I couldn't squeeze them. And there was golf. There were the Lakers. There was HBO, too. It was 24/7 last night. Mayweather and Mosley, actually, Saturday. But I
didn't know they
night.
Started that already.
They started
it,
yeah.
That's and such
if,
a good show.
If the world isn't against Floyd now, by the time they get in the ring, May 1, everyone on Earth will hate the
really?
Man.
Really?
Yeah, it just runs his mouth
but,
like you wouldn't believe.
But do you think that's his... plan, or do you think that's just he can't help it?
Part of it. Part of it's his plan, and part of it is the fact that he truly, truly can't help it. But he demeans people.
Yep.
He utterly demeans. You don't have to be Ali Frazier in Manila and call the guy, you know. He's not calling him racist names, but he is demeaning the guy.
Yeah, of course.
Just back off.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
I want to talk about basketball for a minute because we're at that time of the year where people are starting to jockey for position in the playoffs. How much does that affect the final games of the season in terms of what teams are trying to do?
No, it affects it a lot because the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers really know who they want to play anymore because they can't beat any of them. In the
How
last couple
you?
Of weeks. No, it's true.
How dare
in
you?
In the last couple of weeks, they went to Oklahoma City, which could be a potential first-round matchup. and they got beat by 30.
Right.
Right? And that's they lost by 30.
But
they lost to San Antonio. They lost to Portland yesterday. Portland didn't even have Brandon Roy in the second half.
Wow.
I listen to Laker calls panicking all day, and half of them you tell them, yeah, just back away from the ledge. Give it up.
Right.
But after yesterday, they were pathetic.
But, dude, you have to understand, it seems like this happens pretty much every year,
yes.
Which is they've played a full season.
Yes.
They're in the driver's seat. It's really hard to get up for games. They all are starting to think about resting and rehabbing and making sure they're ready when the playoffs get. You know what I mean? That,
yeah, I do know.
That letdown?
And they've lost 5 out of 7 and looked really, really bad doing it.
Right, but that doesn't mean that that's what you can count on when the playoffs start.
All
right. That's what I'm saying.
I know that they will, wherever this proverbial, magical, mystical switch is,
right.
I know that they will flip
they'll
it.
They'll flip it.
Right, it exists.
Right.
They will flip it, but when they flip it,
right.
Are you 100% certain that they can maintain a level of consistency to win 16 games? Because I'm not.
Yeah.
You usually are,
yeah,
right,
I think
Kevin?
So. Yeah, I think so.
But, really? Kevin, you're also a guy who has talked about momentum a lot, and you don't really want to be sucking going into the playoffs.
No,
right?
You don't want to
be firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, you really don't. And, I mean, the same thing has been kind of going on with the Kings in hockey, the LA Kings.
Sure.
They had a bad slide, and were trying desperately to get out of the playoffs.
Any goalie will do.
Right.
Yeah.
And but now they've kind of turned around and get some momentum going. But when do the NBA playoffs start?
Next Sunday for the Lakers. Sunday,
that's
the 18th. No, this Sunday. What is today? They start this Sunday.
That's pretty
the
quick.
The season ends Wednesday.
Okay,
they have
so,
a scrimmage with the Clippers that they'll call a game on Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah, and then they have the playoffs on Sunday.
Okay.
But don't
Andrew,
you feel the Lakers are a complete enough team that they make sense in a series?
Absolutely.
I can understand. Right now, even I'm a huge Laker fan. I wouldn't put my money on them to beat anybody
I
in one
either.
Game.
I wouldn't
But
either.
In a series, it's a different... You know, it's a different team.
Dude, if it were a one-game playoff right now,
right.
If they did it like the college basketball tournament,
right.
The Lakers would be even money to lose in the first round. Even money to lose in the first round in a one-game playoff. But
right.
It's not.
But you're basing that on the last 6 games,
absolutely.
Not on the other 70-whatever.
Andrew Bynum says he's going to be back for Sunday.
Right.
He says he's going to be back.
Right.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Not that
yeah.
I'm doubting him. But he hasn't played in, 3 weeks now, so hopefully he comes back. This is how bad it got yesterday. Kobe, I don't know if you saw it, Kobe missed 2 free throws down the stretch.
I didn't
with
see
like
that.
With like 5 seconds remaining.
That's a shocker.
He's at the line. They're down one. He missed them both.
Yeah.
Wow.
He missed, and they were both bad misses.
Yeah.
Front of the rim, like a high school kid who can't get the ball up there, right?
Really?
He misses them both.
Right.
Then they blow it on the other end with a stupid foul. Derek Fisher misses a free throw. It was
what?
So bad at the end that Phil didn't even draw up the final play. There's 3 seconds left. You want to get it to Kobe, right? Kobe was so bad, he drew up a three-pointer for Pau Gasol.
A three-pointer for Pau?
He drew it up. People thought that they couldn't execute the play, that Kobe couldn't get open. They go to the locker room afterwards. Powell says, no, they drew that up for me.
Hmm.
So it's like a practical joke now.
What?
Other than that, they're fine.
Wait to bump us out, Andrew. By the way, for folks who are not Laker fans, either listening in Southern California or around the country, it's significant what the Lakers are doing right now because they're defending champions right
exactly.
now. And it's one of the hardest things in sports to do in any sport is to win 2 in a row.
How's Cleveland going to do?
They are the number one seed in the NBA, and they're the team that everyone's gunning for. I mean, the Lakers are the champions, so technically they're the team that everyone's gunning for. But remember, last year, guys, the Cavaliers were this good. They were this. I mean, they had a better home record. I think they were, you play 41. I think they were 39-2 at home last year.
Yeah, that's
which is sick.
That's not bad.
And Orlando smacked them around in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, that's true.
Same thing. I'll believe it when I see it.
What about Boston?
Old rundown.
Old rundown, yeah.
Yep.
If the Cavs win it, Andrew, will LeBron James stay?
All right, see, there's the dilemma. You can make an argument either way.
Talking
you
to a
can
guy
make
from Cleveland,
the argument.
By the way.
Not from D.C., but
oh, okay.
My dad and my brother are screaming Cavs fans. You can make the argument, can't you, that if he wins, he can wipe his hands and say, my work here is done?
Yes.
Can't you make that argument?
I think that argument could be made either way.
Exactly.
Because he really has done nothing but bring attention to that franchise.
My work here is done. I came home. I brought you your first championship in this city since 1964.
Right.
I'm out. Thank you and good night. I'll see you on Broadway.
He wants to go to New York?
Everyone thinks he wants to go to New York.
Right.
He hasn't said a word.
But the flip side of the argument would be there's no reason for him to leave if he was only going to leave to win a championship. Now he's proven he can win a championship in Cleveland. Why move out of his hometown?
Because it's Cleveland.
Because it's
he loves Cleveland, though,
he's
Kevin.
From Akron, which is even worse.
But remember, he loves Cleveland and wanted to play in Cleveland. And right. Loves living in Cleveland.
Right.
Right. No one loves Cleveland. Let's be honest.
Yeah. No.
Even people
right.
from Cleveland who defend it to the death.
They want to get out. The thing is, all if right. he goes to New York, he's actually taking a step backwards. That team's awful.
That team couldn't be worse. But they've been clearing money for him right. and everything else. And,
but
you know.
Cleveland can still give him more money. The way the NBA is set up, you can always give your guy more money
to
keep
him. Oh, I
didn't
know that. Okay.
Yeah, so they could give him the most money. And what comes down to LeBron, I mean, he can make money anywhere. He can walk on the street and right. people hand him money. It doesn't matter. But I don't think he wants to go. I think he legitimately wants to stay. But look, if they lose in the first round and Shaq throws him out of the bus and everything goes haywire, then sure, maybe he leaves. I mean, yeah. anything can happen. Mm-hmm.
Andrew Sicilian is here from ESPN Radio and the DirecTV Red Zone. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we got to talk about Tiger. We also Tiger. Have the audio of your caller who fell asleep on hold waiting to talk to you on your show and how long it took you to wake him up. It's very funny. All of that when we return after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm Andrew Sicilian from ESPN and the DirecTV Red Zone. Easy for me to say in studio. Andrew, what percentage of your callers that you go to on your radio show are asleep?
Or sleep? They're just
asleep.
They're not asleep. They're asleep. It was the first time it ever happened. Yeah,
listen
I love
to. We'll play as much of this as we have time for. But I thought it was hilarious when you and your partner are trying to wake this dude up and you go to him. Check it out.
Ray is in Torrance. Ray, you have a dire prediction. What is it? Ray. Oh man, Ray, you're on for 40 minutes. Is that snore? Shh.
Wait.
Is he asleep?
I think
he's sleeping.
Listen, listen.
That's real. Wake listen. That guy up.
Yeah, he's asleep. He put the phone right on his chest or something. Ray! Wake up!
Now, how long, Kevin, would you stay on the phone with a guy who's snoring?
Well, that was
honestly,
it. We hung up.
Wait, are you asking? Are you asking me? I would stay on forever. I would stay on until 10.
We played a buzzer, and that yeah, woke well, him up. I, and I got his name.
I got it. I just wanted to see how long Kevin would hang on if the guy refused to wake up. Because you don't know whether he's ever going to wake up. And
no.
you're on live radio, but let's see what happened.
Oh, boy, but that's a good nap. You know, afternoon naps are the best.
No, I feel like you're hit by a truck when you wake up.
No, he's probably on a sofa.
You wake up on the couch and you're asleep middle of the afternoon.
You don't like that?
Take it for a guy that was unemployed for a while, man. Those things hurt. They feel good, but it takes a while to get out of them.
This is Ray in Torrance. He's been on hold for 43 minutes.
Yeah. That's a good sleep.
By the way, sounds just like my bulldogs when he sleeps. Same snore.
Yeah, I bet you just got some Langos lunch or something. You know, you get hungry, you get like tired after you eat all that good food. I love afternoon naps. You don't like afternoon naps?
No, I like them. They're just hard to wake up from. I enjoy them. I wouldn't not nap.
Yeah.
Let's try it one more time. Ready? Hold on. Let me get a buzzer sound here. Let me see if I can pull up a buzzer.
Sounds like a cow being milked.
I've never done that before, Michael.
Milk the cow?
Hold on, let's try this. Ready?
Ray! I think it worked. Hello? Ray?
Ray, you there?
Ray?
Ray?
No, Larry.
Oh, Larry.
Larry. Larry, were you asleep?
No, I wasn't asleep.
There you go. No,
no.
I wasn't asleep.
No, that wasn't what that
sleep.
Was.
Not asleep. He wasn't
I wasn't asleep. Sleep.
Right. He wasn't asleep.
What did he go on to say he was doing?
I don't know, man.
By the
he
way,
finally fessed up.
It is fascinating, and this guy happened to have been busted on live radio, but if you call your mom or your brother, whoever it is, and they're sound asleep, you say, oh, I'm sorry, they wake up, they always say, no, I wasn't asleep. I don't know why people always deny that they were sleeping.
No, I feel good.
I mean, in that case, it's because they don't want you to feel bad for waking them up. That's why I do it.
In that case, but in this case.
In this case, I don't know.
Well, in his defense, considering he was sleeping, you know, we wake up. You know, you lose your bearings.
Yeah.
He may not have known. I'm assuming when he first heard the voice on the phone that he was actually on the radio.
Yeah, that's
so he
true.
Might have thought it was the producer in the other room.
That's
saying,
true.
Hey, wake up! You're about to go. No! I wasn't asleep.
Right. Sure.
I wasn't asleep.
I wasn't asleep.
No.
By the way, I'm glad to know this isn't the only show that 50% of the time gets the names wrong when they go to the callers.
No, I was bad. They're never right. I almost got fired as an intern. How many times when I did that? Yeah, it was great.
Andrew. You've said in the past that Tiger doesn't owe us anything. He just needs to be a great golfer. Everything else is none of our business. But you were riveted at the Masters this weekend, right?
Sure.
Couldn't stop watching to see how he did. How did you feel about his performance for a guy who hadn't had much time to practice in the last 6 months?
I thought the guy was
freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's lost in all of this. The guy almost won. He was 11 under par. Look, if we had said on Thursday morning that he was going to shoot 11 under par, most of us would have assumed that's good enough to win. I don't think anyone thought you needed 16 under to win. Forget about winning. If we had said 11 under, we figured if he didn't win, he's only a shot back. And someone pulled out a miracle to beat him. He came back after all that layoff and all this turmoil and shot 11 under. And here's what gets me today. And listen, I'm not the biggest Tiger defender. But let's say some nondescript guy from the British Isles like Lee Westwood won. Yay, Lee Westwood. Anonymous here in the States.
Right, right.
Let's say he won. Nobody would be criticizing Tiger today. But because Phil won, and
Phil Mickelson
won, all right? And Phil, and you saw his wife Amy there,
I didn't barely get
out of bed. All right.
It's golf.
Phil's wife is battling breast cancer.
Okay.
She's pretty sick. Now, her long-term prognosis is good, but short-term, she's not doing well.
Right.
She barely got out of bed the entire week. They didn't know if she was going to be there on the 18th green. She was there, lo and behold, big embrace. Everyone's crying. It's a touching moment.
Phil had taken some time off of golf, right?
Yes.
To be with her when she was undergoing treatment and everything, right?
Because not only is his mother battling breast cancer, I'm sorry, his wife, his mother is as well. They both are.
Wow.
It's just awful. And they found out about his mother a week after his wife went through surgery the first time. So it was just awful. He's the consummate family man. And it was a touching moment. If you couldn't, if you didn't have emotions running through you watching that, you're not human.
But what if you weren't watching it, though?
If you weren't watching it, then you likely had something better to do with your life.
Good.
But when you juxtapose that against Tiger, now it becomes ultimate family guy,
right,
the guy everyone loves, against evil, bad, stripper-nailing loser. Right?
Sure.
And people turn him into the devil last night and today. And people say, look, Tiger, look what happened. The family man won.
No one's saying that. Are they really?
Yes,
are you kidding?
They are. Hey, your wife didn't even have the guts to be there. You ran away from her, said you didn't want to play golf. Now you're playing golf. And the vitriol I've heard towards the guy in the last 12 hours is blowing me away.
This is what I know about Tiger Woods and the Masters this time. The last 4 days, this is what I know.
No.
He hits a bad shot. A guy says, no. And he yells and throws his club. That's all I know. That's all I care. That's my favorite thing ever.
He had one yesterday where he's like, Tiger Woods, you suck.
Where he said that to himself.
I got that if you want.
Audible.
Andrew.
Yeah, hit that.
This is very funny.
Over to the sixth, Vern Lundquist.
And Tiger on the tee, the hole in the upper back right
Tiger
quadrant.
Tiger Woods, you suck. God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Wow, what a great announcer. I could do that.
No.
They mic'd his outbursts up pretty good there, didn't they?
They mic'd him up, and it's so quiet, especially at Augusta. You could hear a pin drop, no one's going to talk.
Do we have time for a call from your partner, Michael Thompson? Do we have time to
Michael
squeeze
Thompson's
that in?
Michael Thompson's on the
phone? Yeah.
Come on. And now.
Hey, Michael. Hey, it's great to talk to you.
Yeah, you know, that's come to Andrew Siciliano, come to studio with a good D-style, right? I keep coming to shake the dread now.
Are you at Carnival right now, or Michael, what's all that racket behind you?
I'm back in my party in the Bahamas.
What?
I'm back in the beach in the company, the Bahamas.
Bahamas?
Blah, blah,
the Bahamas.
Wait, aren't you guys doing a show in about 2 hours together?
You gonna make it?
I got me jet plane, man.
Jet plane.
Fly real fast, do I? With the place to carry around tower. The white man said, no, I can't do the voodoo to that.
Are you back there? Did you have conch for dinner last night? I know it's your favorite.
You know it, Andrew. Me eat the conch and I cook island style.
All right. Well, we're going to let you get to your private airfield so that you can make the show. But thanks for calling in, Michael.
That would be Michael Thompson and yours truly 10 to 2 on 710 ESPN.
That's accurate, right? All right. We need to take a break. Andrew Siciliano is here. He does work ESPN Radio. We'd like you to host the showbiz next, would you?
Sure, absolutely.
Stick around and do that. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:54.
Well, that one ended, and it's not coming back.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin Abeen Show on a Monday. Andrew Siciliano is here. You know, he may do sports for a living, but he's got a variety of interests, and he's going to host the Showbiz Beat for us. This hour in for Ralph Graber. What's going on, Andrew?
These are huge shoes to fill.
Yeah.
I'll do my best.
Can we maybe, like, do sports meets Hollywood stories?
Sure.
All right, how about that?
Whatever you want.
You guys love Twitter, so this one's via Twitter today. Jim Carrey says on Twitter that it's not really Tiger's fault. It's kind of Elon's fault. You ready for this one?
I like where this is going.
She slams Elon, Tiger Woods' wife, for those who don't know, and calls her a, quote, willing participant in everything. Carrey parted ways, remember, with Jenny McCarthy last week.
Right.
And is heard to be helping and taking sides with Tiger Woods here. He tweeted, quote, no wife is blind enough to miss that much infidelity. Elon had to be a willing participant on the ride for whatever reason. Kids slash lifestyle.
Interesting. I don't know. That seems odd to me because there is the whole traveling factor. And that seems like it would make it a lot easier to not be noticed.
Away with it. Yeah.
At the same time, if you're the wife of an athlete,
right,
you have to assume. You have to.
I would think so, too.
It's part of the beast.
But
it's part of the animal. You have to assume.
Wait,
he's a golfer. He's not an NHL player, NBA player.
But he rolls like a basketball player. He rolls like a superstar. He went on to say, this is, again, Jim Carrey on Twitter, Tiger Woods owes nothing to anyone but himself. To please his father, he gave up his childhood and his freedom in the world. That's enough. Now, that's where I draw the line.
What?
Jim, you're wrong there. He's not a victim, man. Tiger Woods is not in any way a victim.
Right.
Tiger Woods went out and did it. Now,
no
if you
one
want to
made
say,
him get married.
No one made him get married. If you want to say that Elon had to know,
questionable.
Part of me agrees with you. But why do you got to put it on Twitter?
Yeah.
Seriously, on Twitter?
Because he's really angry.
How bored must you be to sit around and rip Tiger Woods on Twitter?
I think that Twitter is bad for a lot of celebrities because they used to have a PR person between them and the outer world.
Right.
Now they're able just to type it and go.
Don't you think that his split with Jenny maybe not so friendly and this is like bitterness coming out now?
No. Celebrities, when they split, they stay with friends.
Yeah. No, of course. Always. He has an axe to grind, but I don't get why you do it on Twitter, which is, in essence, as much as I love it, the dumbing down of America to 140 characters or less. It's what it is. And why you go out there and rip the guy, or her, rather.
Yeah, just take it out on her is odd.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
All right, so this one's a sports issue as well. And Mark Sanchez is becoming, if he isn't yours.
Speaking of Tiger, do you mind?
No.
All right, back to you. That was his reaction to Jim Carrey. This is becoming my favorite football player, hands down. USC's Mark Sanchez, who had a great rookie season, led his team to the playoffs with the Jets, and is basically the king of New York right now.
Uh-huh.
The guy can't do anything wrong. So he did SNL this weekend. He just briefly appeared in Tina Fey's monologue, walked across the stage, he pinched his cheek, smacked him around a couple of times like the pool boy, and then got him out of
there.
That's
funny.
Then he went to the after party. According to the TMZ, he packed not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six chicks into his car on his way to the after party for SNL. And here's the best part of it. God bless Mark Sanchez. This wasn't an SUV. It wasn't a limo.
What was it?
It was a Lexus sedan. And he got six chicks into a Lexus sedan like it's a clown car.
Oh, man, we still going to have the after party?
I love it.
Like it's a clown car.
Did he put something in the trunk?
What I don't know. That's production,
man. Sitting on
man.
Each other's laps.
That's the way to roll.
That's six plus him in the sedan.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was, and he's not a small guy. It was funny, by the way. Tina Fey brought him out just as pure eye candy. He didn't have a line or anything. She just said, "For tonight's performance, playing the part of my husband will be Mark Sanchez in your Jets." And she just walks out. And looks cute, I guess.
Yeah, it's good to be him.
Got smacked in the face and left. It's very, very, very,
Andrew,
very good to be him.
Are you a believer? What'd you think of Justin Bieber's performance on SNL Saturday night?
I thought the bit where Tina Fey was the teacher and he was the student was creepy and funny. The kid
it was
can
very
sing. You know what? Strike me as one of the people that had heard of him but didn't know the music. And when he started singing, I was like the 55-year-old guy going, "Oh, I know that song. That's him.
Oh, yeah. Heard it.
Oh, that's him. That's that little kid." Whatever. Sure, he could sing. Yeah.
Would you
He's
at
Canadian.
Any point? Would you at any point in your life use the word believer? Would you say that word? Like
that's what the Bieber followers
are.
Yeah, I know. Believers.
You know, I know.
No, that's what they call themselves.
Yes.
Believers.
Yes.
Believers.
Yeah.
How old is he?
Four.
He's four.
15,
I think
isn't
he's 5.
He?
Maybe 15, yeah.
These people that called themselves, I'm sorry, what is it again?
Believers.
The Believers.
Okay.
Believers.
Are they similarly aged, or are they older people? Are they adults?
I just heard Bean say it. That's the only thing I know.
Because, Bean, if you say that as an adult, then you'd need a life.
Then paging Chris Hansen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, okay.
Absolutely. And he's 15? You know, a member of the Chargers, he's no longer a member of the Chargers. I forget the guy's name. Was cut a couple of weeks ago, and some people think he was cut because of something he wrote on Twitter about Justin Bieber.
No.
No,
really?
The night before. I can't remember this guy's name. Anyway, he was cut.
Bringing it up.
Yeah, I know that.
Was it because he wrote something creepy?
What he wrote on Twitter on Sunday was, hey, I'm in my car listening to Justin Bieber. I think I like him. Does that mean I'm gay?
That's it?
That's what he wrote. Mm-hmm. Now, they might have cut him anyway.
By the way, the answer
But they
to that
cut
question,
him the next day.
The answer to that question is yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
We're out of time. Today's celebrity birthdays, Edra.
Celebrity birthdays. Ed O'Neill, 64 years old.
So Modern Family. He's
Modern
so good.
Family.
You watch that Modern Family?
Love it.
So great.
Love it. I'm 2 weeks behind, though, so don't ruin it for me.
All right.
Andy Garcia is 54 years old. Shannon Doherty, which means I'm getting old, is how old do you think? Shannon Doherty.
I'd say 19.
No.
40.
She's got to be close to 40.
She's close to 40. She's 39 years old. David Cassidy.
200.
6-0.
Now that is 60. Shocking.
Today. David Cassidy is 60.
All I remember is we were in Vegas. We were doing something with David Cassidy, and Bean and Ralph wanted me to go back and take a picture with him. And I was like, we're in Vegas. I'm not going to go back and take a picture with David Cassidy.
Herbie Hancock. 70.
Oh, my gosh.
70 for Herbie Hancock. David Letterman is 63. Claire Danes is 31. And the bassist, Guy Berryman, the dude from Coldplay, is 32 years old.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Siciliano on the Showbiz Beat.
I do not walk the Showbiz Beat, but I do my best.
The California Kid, Uriah Heber!
Uriah, assistant wrestling coach at UC Davis, star wrestler in his own right, and he's absolutely ferocious.
Ferocious. They have it, that's it.
It's a tap out. Uriah Heber, the California Kid. You're a winner.
I never got in any fights growing up because I wasn't like a bully, but it wasn't because I didn't like to fight. I remember as a little kid thinking that no one could beat me up, and that kind of attitude has not only allowed me not to get in fights, but part of what's made me a champion is just the mentality of believing in myself.
I've come a long way to establish myself in this sport, and it's not over.
The California Kid stands him up and sits him down.
I'm not thinking a lot in the cage. I'm going off instinct.
I'm motivated out of respect, out of pride, out of, you know, determination.
Nice. Live on pay-per-view Saturday, April 24th, the WEC Featherweight Championship bout between Aldo and Faber. Uriah Faber, ladies and gentlemen, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
Doing good, man. That was getting me all pumped up.
No kidding. You should. We'll put that on a tape for you to take with you when you're traded.
Yeah, that was a serious mix.
So you're the American. You're fighting the foreigner. So we're rooting for you on the 24th.
Thank you.
Is that how it works? We root against all Brazilians. We root for
Come
all
on,
Americans.
USA.
All
USA.
Right.
I'm
down with
Uriah,
that.
We've never had you on the show before, but thanks so much for stopping by. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you ended up getting into the wonderful world of WEC.
You know, I've been a huge fan of all contact sports since I was a little kid, and just something I thought I'd be good at. I wrestled at UC Davis. As soon as I graduated, I guess I really wasn't ready to commit to the 9-to-5 kind of lifestyle.
Didn't see yourself as a businessman?
I've got a couple businesses now, but I'm just kind of a guy that follows my heart, and it just led me to this path. So took up my first fight in an Indian casino before it was legal in California, and I think I made like $400.
Wow.
About a
minute. You got to fight a lot when you make that kind of dough, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean,
there's going to be a rough existence.
There was a year I think I had 6 or 7 fights in 13 months, really.
Wow.
So that's
how do you stay
the
least bit healthy? You just kick ass.
Yeah, you just
make the other guy
win.
Yeah. You got to win and be willing to be bumped and you know have some bumps and bruises during your fights. It's no biggie.
Yeah. How do you get on the radar of somebody who can take you to the next level and enable you to go pro?
Well, I mean, you just have to keep winning, and especially now with the sport, you know, growing and becoming more mainstream, the stakes are higher and there's more to gain. So the competition's getting better and it's getting harder and harder to break out in the sport. The guys that are really standing out win.
Yeah.
And so it's easy, you know, especially out here in California. It seems like everyone's a fighter these days.
Yeah.
You know, you go anywhere and you hear about it. So
when did they legalize it? Was it 3-4 years ago? When did California finally?
2005 or 2006, something like that.
Finally came around and said, all right, we'll make it legal. And then it just exploded.
Yeah, it did. And I think it was really the Ultimate Fighter that kind of let people understand that the fighters have some personality and that we're not thugs. We're actually, you know, martial artists and takes a lot of discipline.
You and Ed O'Neill, from what I hear.
Yeah, Big Bad Bundy.
Psycho Mike's trying to tell me, Bean, that Ed O'Neill is a black belt.
He's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu who learned from David Mamet, who is directing him in a play, who is also a black belt. I'm telling you.
Are you sure this wasn't in a movie that you saw?
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, it's possible. I mean, if I was a successful actor, I'd just chill and probably do Jiu-Jitsu all day and just kind of hang out on the beach. And,
yeah, have something to do.
Yeah, might as well.
But have you seen him?
No way. He is. And he is. What are we? Today's his birthday. What is he like? 64 years old,
yeah,
too.
Right.
So. But, I mean, he looks like he's in pretty good shape. Right,
let's say he got his black belt when he was 21. He gets it forever? Look, he's 79 now? He's still a black belt?
I think so.
Wow. Uriah, tell me about you. You're 5'6" and 145 pounds, which on paper, if people don't know you, they think, well, that's a little guy. But you pack a pretty powerful punch.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, when I'm my heaviest, I'm probably about 160 and – 5'6", I guess.
What's your most comfortable weight?
Probably about 54, 55.
And what are you fighting at in this fight?
145 pounds.
45. So you have to cut down in the days leading up to it?
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, some guys are dropping from 70 plus to 45. So
a lot of people make a big deal out of how difficult that is on your body where you're dropping 10, 20, 30 pounds. And then you can, as soon as the weigh-in's over, you can rehydrate and start to build back up as fast as possible, but it seems like it really does weaken some people.
Yeah, I mean, some guys are really, really pushing for the weight thing. They make weight, and they're killing themselves to do it. I actually wrestled in college at 133 pounds, so I'm naturally right around 145 pounds. I've been trying to gain weight over the last couple of years, so it's not too big of a deal for me to drop down to 45s.
Right.
When you are a champion in a sport, like in the featherweight champion for WEC, what do you get when you win? Is it a big payday or is it just a better contract? I mean, what does the winner get?
Well, every time you win, it's about double the pay. There's bonuses for fight of the night. My buddy Mark Munoz, who's just fought in the last UFC this weekend. He's actually out here in LA. He has the Rain Training Center, I think, in Lake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Just opened that up, but he just got a $75,000 bonus for fight of the night, which is more than his purse. So, I mean, there's
real incentive.
There's some incentive to go out there and put it all on the line. And there's a lot of different things as far as sponsors. You know, Amp Energy is a Pepsi product. They're a sponsor of mine. And, I've had a lot of things that go into what you're actually getting paid. So it just kind of varies.
Did you see the BJ Penn fight over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. I did see it.
What was your reaction to that? Because to me, it just looked like a guy who didn't care. I mean, I know his nickname's the Prodigy, and I know all the background stuff, but he's so super talented, and he just really didn't care, it seemed like. Did it seem? Because when they announced the other guy as the winner, he was just like, hey, good fight.
You know, knowing BJ, I'm sure he was really, really pissed off that he lost. And Edgar's a tough guy, man.
I know.
He's a different type of fighter than BJ's used to. He's a little bit faster and a little bit more elusive.
It's like a hummingbird. He was driving me crazy.
I think BJ could have used a little bit of a different game plan. BJ's a world champion
of
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
And his corner was saying, take him to the ground.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even try.
Yeah, he didn't try. I don't know if he was a little fatigued by that time in the fight, but... Yeah, man, it was a shocking win. I mean,
I heard that Ed O'Neill kicked his ass the night before. That's what I heard.
When you're in the ring, and then we need to take a break, but when you're in the ring, it seems like when you're watching, at least, you can hear both corners yelling and what they're yelling. Can you hear your opponents, you know, corner people telling them what to do, and does that help you kind of defend, or no, it's just a blur?
No, for me, it's I remember right up in – till the fight starts, and then I'm pretty much instinctive after that. There's little bits and pieces that I remember during the fight, and after I watch the fight, the whole thing comes back.
Oh, then you go, okay, I remember when that happened.
Yeah,
and this and
it's so much action, reaction. It's so much instinct and repetition of, like, you know, your body reacts, and it's not a thought-out process for me, at least. And so, yeah. It's
I always wondered if you could hear the other corner, and you're going, well, okay, they're telling him to take me down, so now I know that he's going to try and take me down.
No, you're mostly worried about the guy trying to kill you.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Sure. Jose Aldo is the Brazilian fighter who's the featherweight champion in defense of his fight against Uriah Faber on April the 24th. That's going to be a hometown match for you because it's at the Arco Arena in Sacramento. Aldo versus Faber available on pay-per-view. We'll take a quick break and talk about that fight when we return with our guest after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Uriah Faber in the studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the American fighting against the Ferner coming up on April the 24th at the Arco Arena in Sacramento. Hey, I mentioned your hometown advantage. It's your town. I mean, is it? What's it like for you fighting in that arena? It must just be crazy.
Yeah, it gets nuts, man. I've been to a lot of events, and we're up there with the loudest fans in the world. And,
right.
It's a rare feeling. I've only had it a couple times, and you feel like a rock star. You really do. I've been to a couple concerts throughout my life, and I always remember thinking, like, man, that'd be cool to be a rock star, and this is the closest I'm going to get, man. It's pretty intense.
What will the will you be the overwhelming crowd favorite, or does Aldo have a lot of fans who are also going to make it out to that to support him as well?
No, I'll be the overwhelming fan favorite for sure. Great. I mean, this is my hometown. I grew up in the area, you know, born in Santa Barbara, raised in Sacramento, and I've got a lot of friends and family, and I'm pretty involved out there. And
does that help? Help to be the overwhelming fan favorite, to get that energy from the crowd?
I think so. You know, I'm an energy guy, and having so much positive energy and it all focused on you is huge. So I think I'd fight great either way, but it certainly gets your spirits up and gets your adrenaline going. So,
what are you thinking about Jose Aldo right now? He's lost what? Just one fight?
Yeah, he's lost one fight, and he's tough. He's very tough, but he's not unbeatable. I've seen him, you know, the fight that he lost. I've seen the fights he's done as of late, and I've got the right tools to beat him, I think, you know, as far as his strengths. You know, he's an explosive fighter. He's fast, and I'm extremely fast also. And I'm the better grappler, and I've also got a heavy punch. So it's going to be a good matchup.
Do you and your people watch a lot of fights of the opponents that are coming up? I mean, you do have – how long have you known this fight's going to happen? 5-6 months?
I've known that we're going to be crossing paths.
At some point for a long time.
At some point for a long time, yeah. So, you know, we watch quite a bit. I mean, I don't dwell on, like, oh, he's – twitching here and throws this right hand or, you know, whatever. I look at kind of what the pace is that he likes to run. You know, some of his stronger tools, like, you know, he's real good with kicks and knees. That's his best thing, really. And
so you work on the defense of that more? And
so you just are aware of it, and then you work on your offense. You know, you got to be offensive-minded out there and look for little things like, don't drop your head because he can jump up a knee in the face and things like that.
That's a problem.
I never have to worry about that in the course of my work. I never have to worry about getting kneed in the face. Now, as you say that, you know that Jose is watching YouTube videos of your fights and he's, you know, looking for your weakness. What are you worried about that you might be susceptible to him for?
I'm not really worried. I'm not a worrying type of guy, I guess. Maybe that's a California thing. I don't know, but I don't really worry about stuff. I'm known for being a little bit crazy out there, but it's got me in trouble maybe twice out of my 26 fights. And other than that,
seems to work for you.
Yeah, I just I'm gonna enjoy the fight, man. It's gonna be my hometown. I've got, you know, a world championship on the line. I've got all my friends and family there, and on top of that, I'm getting paid. So life's good for me.
Yeah, no kidding. How much of it is it a mental, you know, it seems like you guys train for, you fight once, maybe twice a year, right?
No.
Three times?
Yeah, some guys three.
That's a lot of training.
Three, even four times.
Is that a grind mentally to kind of get up and get up and get up and have so few
you know, payoffs where you actually fight. Is that difficult or no?
I don't think so. You know, the whole reason I do this sport is because it allows me to live a lifestyle around my passions and about, you know, things I love. Like, I love to work out. I'm hanging out with my buddies all day. My gym, Ultimate Fitness, is a fun place.
Yeah,
and
bean too.
you know, eat good food. I travel.
I can't
to
get
cool
it up. I'm such a gym.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. is that a lot of it? Do you have to love working out to be in this?
Oh yeah,
sport. Almost where that's a reward in itself.
Can you imagine not enjoying?
Right.
You know, doing this and getting hit in the face all the time. Like,
yeah.
What a horrible lifestyle. So, yeah, you've got to enjoy it. It's got to be something you enjoy or you're not going to do well, period.
Speaking of traveling, let's squeeze in John's call real quick. He's on line two. He's a fan of yours, Uriah. And, John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Uriah.
How's it going, man?
Good. Hey, I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about that YouTube video about you in Indonesia and that fight you got in where you were getting chased around the city and everything.
Oh, man, that was a scary thing. Yeah, just for those who don't know, I'll do the short version. If you look on YouTube, Uriah Faber, Bali, it's like a 10-minute video. But I basically got in a fist fight while I was by myself in a club in Indonesia because my buddy had gone home for the night and got in a fist fight and obviously won the fist fight.
Right.
And then,
but there were no judges.
Yeah, no judges.
And no refs.
And then after that, a couple minutes after that, I got hit in the back of the head with brass knuckles and it escalated from there. Rocks, bottles, running, gotten attacked by like 15 guys and ran away. Got attacked by 4 guys, ran away. Got into a taxi, got attacked in the taxi. It was nuts, man. I almost died.
That sounds like a promotional video, though, that you and your friends dreamed up as a great YouTube sensation. Is it for reals?
Yeah, it's for reals.
I mean,
reals,
who was
man.
Videotaping it?
No, it wasn't videotaped. Oh. It's me telling the story.
It's you telling the story.
Tell the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like, so
hey, maybe the guy with the video camera should have
like,
jumped in.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, it was a scary thing, you know? I who knows, had I been in if I wasn't a world-class athlete, and, or if one of my buddies was there to try to help, he and I would have probably been trying to help each other. And instead of running the whole time, I probably would have been caught up. And you know,
right.
I mean, that's a third-world country, so it was scary, man. It was really
scary.
This
is why I don't go out by myself in Indonesia every time I'm there, man.
You go by yourself anywhere.
Yeah. I had two friends. One went home the night before. The other one was trying to be sober. He was like 6 months sober and couldn't be around the drinking. And so I was out there just kind of hanging out. We were with some chubby European chicks and just having fun. And some guy came up and started a fight with me. I ignored him at first.
Did he know who you were when he started the fight?
No, I don't think so.
He didn't have any idea?
No.
Boy, did he pick on the wrong guy in a bar?
Yeah,
then.
He did. And that's you know, knowing what happened, I would have probably just been like, all right, buddy, you know, and been the bigger man and cowered a little bit. But I did that at first, and he kept persisting. And so I was like, all right, let's go outside. And then it escalated from there. So,
dude, it was like Rocky V.
It really was scary. And I was so happy when it was over. I was driving to the hospital, and I was just covered in blood. I looked like Carrie from, you know, the movie. I don't forget the movie, but anyways,
Carrie.
That's what it is. Yeah,
it's not what you want to look like ever. By the way,
no. And never. I went to the hospital. They sent me to this little hospital, and they sent me to a second hospital, and I got 7 spots sutured on my head because the guy kept hitting me with brass knuckles. And then they thought I had a fracture in my skull, but I didn't. And then, you know, the bill was $35. All the doctors were wearing flip-flops. So that was good.
Did you get, a second opinion once you got back to the States?
You know, I went back to the States, and then the next day I flew out to Japan, and I had cotton balls. I had long hair like this and just shaved spots on my head with cotton balls all over my head.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, last question, you're right. Do you get in trouble from your people for getting into a fight? Because, you know, a lot of times they try to tell athletes, hey, don't do anything that's going to impact your ability to play your sport. Was there any heat for you from getting in that fight?
This is 2005. I was a struggling fighter. I was a world champion at some small level shows, so I didn't have any people yet. So I got in trouble by my mom. She's been telling me my whole life you're not allowed to fight, you're not allowed to hit people.
Good.
And, you know, I'd never gotten fights growing up as a little kid. And So she was pretty disappointed with that, and that's the one person I fear in the world is my mom. I love her a lot. But,
yeah. Look, it was a terrible night, but in retrospect, what a great story to have to tell for the rest of your life, though, about how you ended up bloody in a hospital in Indonesia after kicking a guy's ass.
Yeah, no doubt.
You beat up all of Bali.
Yeah.
Exactly. I beat up Bali one time.
Uriah Faber versus Jose Aldo is going to be April the 24th at the Arco Arena in Sacramento. You don't want to miss this fight. It is available live on pay-per-view. You, Uriah, we wish you the best of luck, my friend. Thanks so much for stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks again, guys. And, yeah, look forward to putting on a great show. Check out UriahFaber.com. Thank all my sponsors on there. And TeamAlphaMale.com. Got a bunch of up-and-comers.
For those of you that don't recognize the name, I'm sure you've heard it, but UriahFaber. Just make sure you can get to the right spot online. Uriah, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.
Thank you.
The Coachella is this weekend. It's one of the biggest music festivals in the world. Three-day passes are still available for sale, or you can win them right now at 1-800-520-1067. We not only hook you up with a concert, we also hook you up with the Kevin and Bean's live broadcast this Friday from just behind the main stage. You get it all if you can suffer through El Orquestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
I don't know the job. I'm not sure we need it. We really have time for the whole skip this part. Big intro. We got it. Hey, guys.
Yeah! Why'd you play the short version?
Get it on! All right. We're desperately late on time, Kevin. I'm voting for sudden death. First person that identifies title and artist of the song El Orquestra de la Raza is doing wins tickets to the show. How about that?
So you're saying if the first caller wins, that's it?
I think that makes it a better morning for all of us. Sudden death.
Karina, hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Have you ever heard El Orquestra de la Raza?
Unfortunately, yes.
You have. Okay. So you know that,
you know what? Maybe I won't sell it for you, bitch.
You know that they don't do the lyrical part. They do just the musical part. All right? So identify this song from one of the bands that is playing at Coachella this weekend. We need the band and the song title. Good luck.
You ready?
Yep.
Karina will lose anyway. Here we go.
I hate her. Boom, ba boom. Boom, ba boom. Boom, ba boom. I've heard this song and I wouldn't get this one.
That's fine. All right. Thank you, guys. Gentlemen, thank you. Please back away from the microphones. Karina, title and artist of that song, please, that will be played at Coachella this weekend.
I'm not sure. I'm going to guess Gorillaz.
And the name of the song?
I can't remember the name.
It's their new one?
Next call.
It's
next
the
call.
New song that we've been playing? Give her a second.
We gave her 10 seconds. Stylo is the song we were looking for. Nice pull on Gorillaz, though. Sorry, Karina.
That's how it goes.
Did kind of sound like it. Come to think of it. All right, we're into sudden death because we've been playing this game so long. Let's try Andrea, contestant number two, on line number two. Hi, Andrea. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
El Orquestra de la Raza. Good luck.
Two, three, four.
Ba, 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 ba. Nicely done.
Very impressive. Please shut the guys up. We're going to hook you up with 3-day passes for Coachella and passes to join Kevin and Bean. Hey, that's us broadcasting live this Friday. Thanks for playing El Orquestra de la Raza.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. We got to go.
El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
The cheesiest movie lines of all time. Coming up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Plus, next hour, we'll give you a chance to win Iron Man on DVD and qualify to win a trip to London to see the premiere of Iron Man 2. How about that? That's next hour right here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
So can't wait for that movie. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
It does look awesome. In the meantime, speaking of movies, let's take a look at the showbiz beat real quick. Weekend's hot movies at the box office, courtesy of Daily Variety. Tina Fey and Steve Carell at number one with Date Night, $27.1 million. I heard mixed reviews from most people saying that those guys are so funny that they didn't need all the nonsense with the explosions and the gunfights and the chasing and the running. They didn't need all of that to make a movie.
Yeah, and people don't go to see those two people doing that stuff.
That kind of stuff, right? But Kevin, you enjoyed it when you went, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a simpleton. It's not like I'm hard on movies. I'm a pretty easy target, but I thought it was really funny. I thought they were both super likable. I thought it was good.
It is number one, just edging out Clash of the Titans at number two, $26.9 million. Final box office figures due today. That could switch. How to Train Your Dragon came in at three. Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married 2 at four. The Last Song, Miley Cyrus's movie at five. Alice in Wonderland 6, Hot Tub Time Machine, Bounty Hunter, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and this year's religion movie, playing in churches all over the country, Letters to God, debuted inside the top 10 at $1.3 million.
The Jersey Shore is not making a lot of new friends in Miami, hard to believe.
Mm.
Sources tell New York Post's Page Six column that the local club owners not all that excited about having in the guys from the Jersey Shore with the MTV cameras.
Oh, really? They'd want that PR.
Maybe. Maybe not. They saw what happened last summer and they said, you know what? We're good.
Don't need fights.
You keep moving on down the beach. We're not interested in that.
That's
so
funny.
They're denying them access to certain nightclubs in Miami.
I don't think I would be pleased to see the Jersey Shore folks coming. I'll tell you that.
No.
A couple of other movie notes, by the way. Keith Richards, you know, did the cameo in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie playing Jack Sparrow's father because they look so much alike. I mean, Jack Sparrow, the character that Johnny Depp plays, is essentially based on what Keith Richards is like in real life, so it was brilliant casting. Now they're talking about putting Mick Jagger in as a pirate in the fourth movie.
What?
They're not going to be happy until they get all of the Rolling Stones in this movie franchise. Another odd movie story, Mickey Rourke, who's the co-star of the movie we're just talking about, Iron Man 2. You know he's crazy for his dogs, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
In the bad days of his career, wasn't he living out in a desert with like 14 dogs? I mean, didn't he go like off the grid for a while and it was just him and his canine?
It's just him and his dogs.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
And then when he came back, he was dedicating all of his awards and he was bringing them to all the shows and stuff like that. Well, apparently some of the sad scenes in Iron Man 2... Here's how Mickey Rourke gets into character for when the cameras start rolling. He has assistants holding up pictures of his dead dogs.
Oh, man. Really?
First of all, who's taking pictures of dead dogs? At least I hope the pictures aren't of the dogs when they were dead. I hope he was looking at pictures at happier times of his pets, and then it would make him sad because now they're not alive anymore.
He's crazy.
Definitely crazy. I don't know what to do about him, but I think Puppy Lake is where he's headed.
Wow, that's sad. Celebrity birthdays. We have actor Ed O'Neill, who Psycho Mike swears is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
And I'm right.
I believe him.
Seems to have been confirmed by the people on the internets.
Yeah.
And he's right about that.
That's what I thought.
Talk show host David Letterman is 63.
Black belt.
Actor Andy Garcia.
Blue belt.
Is 54. Art Alexakis of Everclear is 48.
He's a master in Brazil.
Nicholas Hexum of 311 is 40.
Never trained.
Nicholas Brendan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 38.
Chased.
That's right.
Shannon Doherty is 39. The bass player for Coldplay, Guy Berryman, is 32. And actress Claire Danes.
Ah.
31 years old, and that is the showbiz beat.
Tell me about the cheesiest movie lines of all time. What's this deal? Did somebody take a tremendous amount of time to edit them all together into a YouTube video or what?
100 of them. Yeah, the 100 cheesiest lines of all time. And we might have to do this as a call-in topic maybe tomorrow or one other day this week because there's a lot in here. We had to cut a lot out for time. But we do have some of the clips from, say, Batman and Robin, perhaps Titanic. Lethal Weapon, Forrest Gump, Rocky, there's a lot of Sylvester Stallone.
I'm curious to hear what these are because some lines aren't cheesy at the time, but then they become cheesy through, you know, just becoming part of pop culture.
Judge Dredd, Snakes on a Plane, Dirty Dancing, The Postman. The Postman is way up there for me.
We were talking right before this break. There's a couple movies where you just have to cut and paste the whole movie to be on the cheesy line list.
Top Gun?
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
That's the one. So we're going to put it up at kevinandbean.com so you can check it out. This is not all 100, but this is just a sampling of some of the cheesiest movie lines of all time.
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
Did you just have a brain fart?
Begging your pardon, sir?
I resent it when people fart inside my office.
Jenny, I'm sorry.
Don't. Love means never having to say you're sorry.
I'm the king of the world!
How about I make you my weeyes?
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Wait, hold on, stop. This is your...
What's that one from?
I'd love to know what some of these are from.
Either They Live or Alienation, one of those two. That's Roddy Piper before he goes into a bank. Well, he has special sunglasses. He can see who's aliens, Lisa May, and who's not. But us regular humans, we don't know. They're living among us.
Chew gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of gum.
Yeah, and he serves some heads.
That's pretty strong, right?
Bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
I know kung fu.
This is your f***ing wake-up call, man. I am an FBI agent.
Diplomatic immunity.
Just been revoked.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
If I can change, and you can change, everybody can change.
Are you a Mexican? Or a Mexicant.
I am the law! I am the law! You betray the law! No!
Are you like some special forces guy or something?
No, I'm just a cook.
You white bitch! Give me some chong chong!
Let's get some ice!
Get off my plane!
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
I'm also just a girl. Standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her.
You complete me. Not just has.
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello.
I love you, Molly. I've always loved you.
Ditto.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You're a godsend. A savior.
No, I'm just the postman.
Taking the children! We have to save the children!
It's a pressure valve. Won't open unless there's tremendous pressure.
You better hold on tight, Spider Monkey.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
I would have followed you, my brother. My captain. My king.
You can be my wingman anytime.
Yeah. Holy yeah. You can be mine.
Yeah!
Yeah.
You can be my wingman instead of me being yours.
But I wonder about some of those. Like, I was thinking about Jerry Maguire as the You Had Me at Hello and those things go. At the time, nobody thought that those were cheesy.
I don't think that's true.
It was a romantic comedy, and that's how people talk. I don't think people were making fun of it. I mean, it became a pop culture moment. I mean, people quoted it. But
she should have just ended with shut up.
You get caught up.
You don't say You Had Me at Hello.
You get caught up in a movie, though, when you're in that movie. You're in that theater. And that, during that movie, you're like, oh, that's romantic.
It was.
I'm feeling it.
But
Jerry Maguire's kicking it hard right now. Attaboy, Jerry. Mm-hmm. You walk into that theater, you're like, whoa, wait a second. He just said, you complete me.
Yeah, those are bad. Those are only about half of them, too.
Oh,
so,
my gosh. There's so many more,
So go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see
surgery. I know it's cosmetic, but it's pretty
it
serious.
It's
and if
surgery.
Someone's unhealthy when they're going into the operating room, I can see her suffering from chest pain. Plus, her whole chest... area, like the whole cavity itself is so thin and frail. I don't know if it's built to handle that kind of stuff, you know, and it's probably sagging on the skin. Either way,
do we believe that that is really why she went?
I don't know.
I like your theory, or Dean's theory, which is drugs.
I just thought maybe she would go, sure hurts, sure needs some kind of drug.
Well, they should have spent half as much on the boobs and used the rest of the money on her face is what they should have
done. Right, but I don't think they can make that call that variable. Well, she's under.
Speaking of plastic surgery and boobies, Heidi Pratt was at Liquid, a club in Las Vegas this weekend, an outdoor poolside club. She made an appearance there with a bikini on. And we're all aware that she's had a lot of plastic surgery lately.
Yes.
But, oh my God, are her boobs huge.
Yeah, they
are. You have to look and see. You can't believe.
They exploded.
I highly encourage you to go to kevinandbean.com. Our man Bean has put up a poll And you can
code?
You can vote as to whether or not her boobs are actually too big. And everybody knows Bean's a big fan of the large breasts.
Right, there's no such thing as too big. No. But
I don't know.
They're cartoons.
In this particular case.
I hate to say it. And it's unfortunate because she's actually gotten herself to a point where her face is attractive.
I don't think she was ever unattractive.
Right. She was never fugged.
Her personality was unattractive.
Heidi was never fugged. But she's gotten to a point where, I mean, I look at her, I'm like, hey, that's kind of a hot chick. And now she's ruined it, in my opinion, with what boob. And I know this is hard to believe, but too big of boobs. These are
cartoon boobs.
Yeah.
They are cartoon
that
boobs.
That look, they defy the law of physics. But like I said, go to kevinandbean.com. Bean has put up that poll. John Gosselin is in a lot of trouble because he is now filing for custody of his 8 children with Kate because he says that she's an absentee mom. She's not fit to be their mother. He's also trying to weasel his way into TLC again, the station that originally aired John and Kate Plus 8.
Right.
And she has her new show on TLC coming up soon called Twist of Kate. Very funny. But TLC has come out and they've made it clear they want nothing to do with John Gosselin. The show will go on, they say. Nobody wants him back on the air. That is a spokesperson from TLC.
Wow.
Does John want to subject himself to this again?
I'm sorry. Can you stop breathing so loud, honey? He's like, breathe quietly.
Does he really want any part of that, even for TV?
No.
And by the way, that was not the exception. If you talk to him like
Come on, you guys. Now that you've seen him and how he is.
Yeah, they're both.
He was a giant douche.
Yeah, but they're both bad.
She was trying to raise 8 kids, essentially, alone.
Listen, she's not a great person, but Lisa May is right. I've never seen a bigger public shift of opinion, except for maybe Tiger Woods, than's gone on with John and Kate.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, you know, you asked people 2 years ago, it was, I feel sorry for the poor guy. She's a miserable bitch. And now you realize he's really doesn't have much to offer himself. And she's just kind of not so bad.
He would take it because he has no way to make any money now.
Yeah, that's true.
And the most important story of the day, Jared Leto got a haircut. And he looks even more beautiful.
Is that right? That's the most important story of the day?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
How much did he pay for the haircut?
I'm not sure, but it's a pink mohawk, a traditional mohawk, not a faux hawk, and he looks beautiful. It really highlights his eyes well, and I feel like the cue of the pink goes well with that bright, vibrant green that he's got going on in those ojos.
Okay. All right. May have picked the wrong guy to do showbiz.
Maybe.
What? Celebrity birthdays to close things out. Musician Herbie Hancock. He is a genius. Actor Ed O'Neill, who's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. It's been confirmed, no matter what Kevin likes to say. Talk show David Letterman is 63. Singer actor David Cassidy, 60 years old, who also gave birth to Katie Cassidy, more importantly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
More importantly.
Good point.
And actress Shannon Doherty, recently from Dancing with the Stars. She is 39, and that is the Ralph Garman Showbiz Report.
Thank you. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Jenna Ushkowitz, who is Tina on Glee.
She's
finally coming back. Very excited about that. BJ Penn is on the program tomorrow.
Or is he?
Talking about his new book, Why I Fight. The belt is just an accessory.
Hmm. Why sometimes I fight. Sometimes I just show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had a rough weekend. But anyway, he's scheduled for tomorrow morning. And from the LA Galaxy, we have Landon Donovan.
Hi!
In studio. And I don't know why he gets a high.
Why you do that.
But
I was on a roll.
So that's all tomorrow morning, plus your chance to qualify for a trip to London to see the world premiere of Iron Man 2 tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Over to the 6th, Vern Lundquist.
And Tiger on the tee, the hole in the upper back right
Tiger
quadrant.
Tiger Woods. Suck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
I don't think so either.
Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including, well, why not, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, also some Guns N' Roses, Phoenix, Nirvana, Cypress Hill, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.